Terry.
Hi, here I am.
Here I am. I guarantee probably I'll have a hot flash because I'm at that time during this presentation. Close your ears, Tim, and I'll probably drop my water. So, my name...
Your face.
Oh, yes. Whew. Yes. Hi.
Lowered the mic.
Is that better? Okay. My name is Terry O. I am a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and bulimic for today. Hi, everyone. I come from Mission, BC, Canada. So Sea to Sky Intergroup is my intergroup. So excited to be here. So just a little bit about me. I came into program the first time at 40. I grew up with alcoholic parents and said I'm never, ever going to be an addict. And then on my 40th birthday, while I was in the closet eating my, you know, second Costco size thing, I'll say thing for those of you who are triggered by food, and thought, oh my God, I'm an addict. I never crossed my mind before then. I did all the therapy I thought I needed, and it didn't work. So I realized that I needed help, and I don't know how I knew about OA. I had known about other fellowships, and so I went to a meeting, and I did the come late, leave early. I did the don't get a number, don't ask for a sponsor, don't work the steps, don't get the literature, just show up. And so, no surprise, I left. I did not last long. My abstinence, if I even got more than a day, was all that I got. And then I left program. And I tell this funny story because what brought me back to program was in 2016, me and my partner, he and I separated. We got divorced, good friends, but got divorced, got back in the dating life. Did, you know, one of those online dating things and met this wonderful fella, PE teacher. He's great. He's normal. He's been married twice. I've been married twice. It's awesome. And I would spend the night at his house and I would, he would go to play soccer and I would eat all of his snacks for the kids, all of those unhealthy things. And then I'd put them in the bottom of the garbage can so no one could see them. And he'd be like, damn, those kids, because they'd be gone with their mom for the weekend. Damn, those kids keep eating all the snacks. I just let him think it was the kids. I did not say it was me. And then one morning I was doing that and I was eating like the fifth bag of whatever it was and like crying. And I always say, not the pretty cry, not the dainty cry, the snot out of my nose cry. And I was crying so loud I didn't hear that he'd come home. So he comes in, and here I am on his bed with all these things, snot crying, just looking at him. I look at him, he looks surprised, and I'm like, I have a problem. And then I'm thinking, he's like, okay, and I'm thinking in my head, and he's thinking right now, this is why you don't date online. But he didn't. He's like, okay, what's going on? And I told him, he's like, isn't there a meeting for that? And I said, yeah. He goes, how about I drive you to one? And he drove me to my first 5 meetings straight back in about an hour. It was in Burnaby that he drove me, and I live in Mission, so depending on traffic, it was quite a while. And that's how I got back in to recovery. I got a sponsor that day, a very hardline lover, big book sponsor, who said, service is what you're going to do your next meeting. It was only meeting number 2, but I was going to do it. Wherever that was, I was going to do that service. And that's what's kind of started my journey. And that was in 2017, August. I tattooed it. I got these little tattoos that says obsession of the body. What's the next one, everyone? Allergy of the body, obsession of the mind. Yes. So it reminds myself whenever I go to eat of where I've come. And so that's how I started. And through that, I gave service at the group level. And then she said, you need to look at doing a little bit higher. So then I did service at the intergroup level. Then she said, maybe you want to think about being on the board. Then I did service as a convention. I just want to say that my job gives me no special skills. I have no skills to do conventions. I work at a men's federal prison, so none of that gives me convention skills at all. So I was like, convention, oh my goodness. And so I started convention, and then a pandemic hit. And then I'm like, I don't know anything about technology. So then I was like, oh my gosh, what do I do? And then I moved to World Service Delegate, and then I came to my assembly virtual. Second assembly I came to virtual, and I'm like, I'm not giving any service. And then somebody on the board said, we don't have anyone for first vice chair. Would anyone like to step up? And higher power, they just call you when you don't want to be called. And he called, and I said, I will. And that's how I ended up here at convention planning. So I have no skill. And that's the big message about conventions, marathons, that I want to share, is it takes no special skill to do these. It just takes a little bit of time, a little bit of effort, and a willingness. I like to say this year when we planned it, there is always a little job, and there's always a big job, and there's a job in between. And whatever you're willing to give is what we're willing to utilize, and we'll all do this together. So a little bit of what Jean was saying, why do we do, whether it's a speaker night, whether it's a half-day workshop, whether it's one of our days like a birthday or idea day or a marathon, a little bit more adventurous, or a retreat, which is a little bit bigger, or even a convention. We do it, and I actually wrote it down from the website, because any form of service, no matter how small, that helps reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our recovery. Because I'm selfish. I am a selfish, selfish person, and this helps my recovery as much as it helps a fellow sufferer. So I do it for my handout to you, but I do it really also too for me, because it helps me, and it has shot my recovery. Like someone said to me today, oh, you're with the ninja group, and that's exactly what these board members are. They are recovery ninjas. You are so supported in everything you do. You get this energy, and it's like, oh, that didn't work out. It's okay. It's okay. Oh, you weren't able to make to do that one thing. It's okay. It's okay. And it's just such an acceptance place that you're like, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. So that's my personal story about service, but I'm here to help with the nuts and bolts. And please know, if you are needing to run anything in where you are, whether it's your group level, whether it's at your intergroup level, just my email is the first vice chair. Send me an email. I'll help you with whatever you need. I've scraped my knee a lot this last year, and I've learned from those scraped knees, so that's really great. Lots of things. One tip, make sure the hotel knows that they should fully stock diet anything drinks in the vending machine. First rule, did not know that before this convention, and that's all that I will remember in the future. So let's talk the nuts and bolts. So I've mentioned the different types of things you can do, and keeping in mind these can be virtual or they can be in person, but really what you need to know is, what does your group or does your inner group, what do they need? Because that's the most important piece as well, you know, is asking. We did out a SurveyMonkey when we did our intergroup renewal at Sea to Sky, and we got a list of everyone who filled it out and said, here's the things we'd be interested in. And a retreat wasn't on the top of their list, but a marathon was. So that told the fellows, because it should always be from the bottom level, the fellows said, here's what we'd like. So not what we as a board thought that we would want, but what our fellows wanted. So they wanted a marathon. And these things are really a mixture of time and effort. The bigger they are, the more time and effort. But the more volunteers you have, the more equal time and effort you have to give out. So the big things, let me take a drink. When planning any of these, the kind of three big categories are your volunteer. What do you need for a volunteer? So how many volunteers do you need? What every possible task do you think that the volunteer we need a volunteer for? And then no, that won't be everything. And then you'll get here at 10 o'clock last night, and you'll be doing something. You're like, oh, I didn't think about that, but I do know now. So it's imperfectly perfect, and our fellows are so wonderful. They love what we've done regardless of all of those imperfections. So volunteer base, how many volunteers do you have? And that will help you decide what you want to do. Always keeping in mind that reassuring that help, something we don't like. I don't, for myself, I don't like to use that word. Help is always there. What's the Harry Potter thing? Help is always there at Hogwarts when asked for. To those who ask, Harry Potter fans. And that's the thing. If you decide, you know what, I think I'd like to step up and plan a speaker night or a marathon for my group or my inner group, my home meeting, wherever it is, know that just because you said you'd stand up doesn't mean you have to know. Thank you. So there's people to reach out to. There's Region 1 that you can reach out to. There's other intergroups you can reach out to say, hey, we'd like to do this, but we're not sure how. And we can come and help with that. The big thing is your location. Those are scary. That was my scariest thing, finding out that I had to negotiate a contract with a hotel. What? And it's something you have to sign, and it's legal. And it's in a different country where I live. Oh my gosh, I'm so stressed out. But you know what? There was Bev, and there was Sue before me. There was Alice. There was people that I could act. And there was even Marcus, the hotel guy. I said, I don't know how to do this. I'm not sure about this part. And Marcus said, well, here's what we need to look at. Here, we can do this. It's too expensive, Marcus. He's like, okay, let's take off this. Is this more affordable? So the miracles happen when you just take both feet in and you do it. So having a location, if it's something that your group doesn't have a lot of money, do it virtual. Do it virtual. It's the same kind of similar planning, maybe less volunteers and maybe a little bit less time commitment when it's virtual. If you have the money and you have a little bit, think about maybe a workshop, a half-day workshop. You can bring a speaker in. Region 1 has a huge speaker list that you can call on, that you can have someone that will be willing to come in to speak or virtually come in to speak. And you plan a half-day workshop. 2.5 hours. Someone's going to open. Someone's going to tell you, have someone speak. You'll have someone moderate. You'll have someone close. It's easy. We can get enough volunteers for that, right? So those are things to consider as well. When you get down to retreats and you get down to like conventions, that's a little bit more time. And that's where, if you do a marathon as well, that's where a program format becomes really important. But you know what? You never have to redo the wheel because you have one right here. This is a template for a program. That's what we did. We took the templates of what happened before, emptied them out, and then filled them in. If you only want to do a marathon, there's your one timing stream right there to take you through steps 1 through 12. If it's a step marathon, you could do a traditions marathon. That's a really good one, too. You can go and you can do a special topics marathon, and the times are right here. That's all done for you. You just got to fill in the slots, right? So you have that option as well. Thinking about things like scripts, timer scripts, moderator scripts that Jennifer read for us. Already been done. Already have those. You don't need to do this on your own. You can call out to Region 1 and we will give you all of those resources so that you can be able to successfully do yours. Why is it important to get them going in our different areas as we come out of the pandemic? Because there's so many fellows that still suffer. There's so many of us in this room, in these rooms, that still suffer. And I like Zoom. I think I can be in my own home. I don't have to drive an hour into Vancouver to a meeting. I can do it from my home. But you know what? Last night, when we circled up and we held hands and we said the promise, we said our founder's prayer, wow. If you were there, it was like, and I'm not a crier, and I'm telling you, I was having some trouble not crying. It was so great. And you come here, people want to hug you. People want to say hi, and you don't even know them. And then you'll never sit alone because there's a table available for you, anyone, no matter if you haven't met them before. That's why, because like Tony said last night, community is so important. It's so important for our recovery, and it's so important for others' recovery to know that you belong, to know that you have a place to go. So that's the reason that I raised my hand. It's the reason that I have a 2-year commitment, so it'll be in Vancouver next year. I hope I see all of you here. There, we will have it all ready for you. So, that's my second commitment there. And I'll still be helping out with convention, even when I'm not first vice chair. I'll still be like those of us who came before me to help out and share what I know. And because it makes my recovery stronger. And Jean said it best. There are days, I don't know if you guys ever have these days where I really don't want to read. I really don't feel like being a sponsor some days. I really don't feel like going to that meeting. I'd really kind of like to skip it and sit on YouTube and watch like makeup tutorials, because that's my thing, and just do that and like hide and isolate. But you know what? And I think, oh God, I hate that I'm going to the meeting, or oh, I have to do this. But once I get there, it so re-energizes you so that you can go back and take that sponsee call, and you can do that extra reading, and you can help out your inner group and say, I'm here, what do you need? 5 minutes left, perfect, thanks. What else was I going to say? A wise person once said, plan, you fail to plan to fail, but also you can't plan away the oopses and the I forgots. You just can't. You can't do it. So you just know that going in that it will not be perfect. And a wise person once told me that they heard from a wise person that they said they were really stressed out about a workshop and speaking, and the person said, why don't you just do sort of okay? Why don't you just put your bar that you just sort of okay? That's why not. It doesn't have to be perfect. And so that's, I took that to heart in the convention, and when I do the services, how would I just do sort of okay? Usually it ends up being better than sort of okay, I hope. But sort of okay is okay, because I gave what I could give to you. And that's really what getting retreats going. The other great thing I want to say about in-person or even virtual marathons and retreats and workshops is we reach those newcomers. We had so many newcomers here. So we had one person in one of the workshops that's 2 weeks. 2 weeks in, and this is where they are, right? What a God shot, totally, to be able to be here. And we'll bring our fellows, people who are still suffering, in, or maybe that person that had the relapse. I had so many people talk to me about being in relapse and coming to this convention and how it's kind of given them that burst of energy and how they reached out and they got a sponsor. That they really was avoiding a sponsor, but they couldn't avoid it because we put it out there. And that's the reason. That's the reason the conventions. And I know burnout is a concern. I don't know, Pia, you're in your groups, but service, getting people to step up for service, I know is a challenge. And that's why doing the little steps, I say, kind of like gets you addicted. So, okay, let's just do the half workshop for a day. It's virtual. We're going to do it for half. We're going to have a couple meetings. And then people get energized. Okay, let's try a marathon. Do you want to try a marathon? Okay, let's do that. And it's like, oh, what about a retreat? Like, our inner group hasn't had a retreat in a lot of years, since before the pandemic, but or a marathon. But you know what? I'm hopeful we'll have one. And to be able to be in person there, and there's lots of people who can help. There's lots of people who can do the heavy lifting so that you don't feel you have to do the heavy lifting. Because I'm just curious, in your inner groups, how many of you have a events coordinator?
Not filled.
That was going to be my next question. How often is that spot filled? Right? Used to be. Used to be.
Does each region have to have one?
It depends on your own like bylaws of your inner group and what it's made up of. Ours, we have an events coordinator in ours. We do. It's been unfilled for a lot. It was filled briefly by me for a short period. It's the one that's the scariest. I thought it was the scariest, and the only reason I did it is because my sponsor said, you should do that. You should try that. I think it's because she thought it was going to give me something I totally didn't know how to do, to really stretch my feelers on that. But I encourage you to go back to your inner group or your home meeting. It doesn't have to be an inner group. It can be your home meeting spots decides to put something on. I encourage you to go back and think, have some time with higher power and say, I'll do something. And if you do something, we at Region 1 will be there to help you do something. I'll be there to help you, virtually or in person. So, and then the more you learn, the more you pass it on. So, and then the more you take, my goal next year is to learn AV from Bev and Aaron, because I don't know how to do that at all. But Bev, I have to call her out because she said something great. She said, AV makes me the most nervous, so that's the thing I'm going to step up and do. How brave is that? So brave. And that's the message. Thank you.